I really feel like I'm at a turning point in my life where I'm realizing how much older I am than people because I feel young and hip, you know? And then in church, I realize like I'm not the peer of someone who is 22 years old. Like I'm a decade more.
People are asking you to mentor them. That's yes. Where you're at, right?
Yes, yes. And when this woman was like, how old are you? I can't believe that. No one has said that to me in a while. And you know, like when your mom is like, has always done that, you know, like
right.
Loves being carted places. Like, I think I'm crossing over into that threshold.
Well, I used to think my mom was such a loser when my friends would be like, hi, Mrs. Deary. She'd be like, no, call me Robin. But I'm like, that's me. If one of my kids' friends was like, Mrs. Joyner, I'd be like, honey, call me Rebecca. Like, don't call me Miss Joyner. Who am I? My mother-in-law? Like,
being a mom is hard. Being a business owner and a mom is even harder. So we love to talk shop together, whether that's what we're planning to have for dinner in our homes or what we're planning for next quarter in our content calendars.
But most of all, we love to hear the stories of other moms who have built their businesses and brands. We've dreamed of becoming business besties with some of our favorite business owners online, and we are going to use this podcast to do exactly that.
Come for the stories behind how moms built their businesses, aka the business banter. Then stay for the laughter and candid conversations, aka the bestie banter.
This is the Bestie Business Banter Podcast.
Hey, hey, what's going on?
Hey, I'm glad we made some time to record another episode. I almost said film, but people aren't watching us.
Just us watching us. A little late night bestie chat. Okay, so we're doing something a little different this episode. We've gotten some great feedback from y'all. We love it. And y'all love the bestie banter. So we wanted to create some space for extra bestie banter. And then also, we kind of thought it'd be fun just to kind of do like a State of the Union address, almost like just a quarterly update of kind of what's going on with our businesses, where we're at, what we're working on, what we're dreaming about, etc. We just thought it'd be fun.
And honestly, every time we've sat down and had a guest, we only get through like 2.5 of our bestie banters, right? And we just have so much more to talk about.
We have
like
so much.
The things that I have to talk about today, I don't even think you and I have touched base about in our day-to-day.
I know. I can't wait. Some of these things I have no context for, so I'm excited. Okay, so let's dive in. As always, I feel like we got to start with a blood boiler.
Yes.
Why don't you go first? Because mine's going to be a doozy.
Okay, listen. I lose things all the time. This would not surprise anyone. But then I feel like I have to ask for that gift for like the next birthday because I've already lost, in this case, sunglasses. I couldn't find my sunglasses for months. And I told Curtis, my reward to myself when we are debt-free here in a little bit was just going to be new sunglasses to myself. Not that they're like this huge thing, but I don't know, just in my mind, gave me something to work towards. And of course, he found them under the seat of his car last week. And I was like, yeah, I've lost them again, literally a week. Lord. I don't know where they are. And the thing that I realized that boils my blood, it just makes me rage. You know, some weeks it's just a pet peeve. This is a rage monster inside of me, is driving like out of your neighborhood directly into the sunlight. Mm-hmm. Like I am driving to the core of the sun and my eyeballs have to stay open because I need to stay on the road, but I have no sunglasses. And even if I did, they probably wouldn't be powerful enough. But the mini blood boiler is losing my things all the time, like my sunglasses. And the real one, the real rage monster is driving into the sun. Like, does that make you rage like it does me?
Yeah, it's like completely unsafe. You know what? I will never forget every day driving home from where we used to work together to mine and Thomas's rental house when we first got married. Pleasantburg, turning right on Lawrence Road around 5 p.m. The way the sunlight was in my eyes, every time I'm like, if this is a blind turn from me onto
and
Lawrence
everybody
Road,
else who's driving everybody on this busy else, road at like, 5 p.m. traffic.
I'm just like, okay, I hope I make this turn because I'm Jesus, going take the wheel into the sun. Like I just think about that all the time. Yeah, that it's horrible. Dangerous.
It makes me rage. And I mean, that's the point where I'm at right now because I've lost them yet again. So
sorry
I'm
about your
rage
sunglasses.
Every day.
You need to get those ones that Naptime Kitchen always talks about that are like $12 on Amazon. Just get like 10 pairs.
I know. That was my other friend told me that I need to do that too. But I just have this confidence that they're going to show up.
Right.
Because they always do, right? As soon as you buy a nice pair again, then they show up.
Yeah, I keep mine in my car. That's like the only way I can make it happen is like I keep them in that little boop boop thing that pops down.
Yeah, you would think I would have a system by now, but I don't.
Also, can you hear my kids in the background?
I can't. No, just you.
I don't know what they're talking about. We're recording after bedtime tonight, y'all. So hopefully it's not and by bedtime we mean like my kids are in their, they're all, they like to be in one person's bed talking. So the big kids are in each other's beds talking. They pretend that they have a campfire with the Maui's hook that was like $85, that meme you got them at Disney on Ice. Anywho, it lights up and then one of us has to go in there like 10 and turn it off because it's like a strobe light. And we're like, is this safe to sleep with? Okay, here's my blood boiler. And I want to say this with all of the kindness in the world.
The most loving way possible.
The most loving way, because you might be listening to this and this might be you.
Just like last week when people realize that they're the ones who say, mom told me
versus
this.
Versus my mom.
Grandma right. told me this.
Right. Okay. So I really, really dislike when people DM things that should not be DMs on social media. Okay.
Can you give us an example?
I would love to. This applies on my business Instagram. It's Arc Science. It applies on my Momfluencer for fun account. Okay. So like for the business one, I hate when people will send me a 3.5 paragraph essay in a DM that requires a lot of thought to respond to and or like requires a sample. Like they might just be like, hey, like I have your sales unit. Love it so much. So grateful for it. I have a question about how you run the gummy bear osmosis lab. I was wondering if, and they'll like give me this entire scenario. And like, do you have pictures of when you've done this with your students? And could you answer like troubleshoot XYZ?
Could you go unzip the file, open it up, share the answer key with me? And then,
which I'm like, some photos I cannot do this on my phone. That's my thing. I'm like, Instagram is on your phone. So why are you asking me something that 100% should be answered in email? And so normally I just immediately, I have like a thing I copy and paste now that's like, thank you so much for your purchase. I'd be happy to help you. Can you please email me so that I can answer this the next time I'm on my computer, you know?
And here's the thing. Do they think that you are more accessible there because you hate email? Like, is there a...
I think it's just because I'll be like on stories and stuff. I don't know, but like,
I did the update on Instagram the other day and I told you, I screenshotted to you. I was like, what does this mean? It shows like minutes next to my name. Is it showing that I have been on Instagram for 13 minutes? I mean, 13 would be minimal. It's probably saying I've been there for 65 minutes or something. Like, why do people need to know where I am and what I'm doing in my messages?
Yeah, I don't like that. And I think I'm like rarely on the business Instagram, but you are. So then that's confusing because they might see you on there on mine, you know, posting right. for me or something and then think I've been available, but not responding. I don't like that. And then I feel like at the Momfluencer
audience, here we are.
I love you guys. But two things I really don't like. Being asked questions that like could be Googled per se, which this doesn't happen like as much. But like, here's the deal. I can't post about bread anymore on the Momfluencer.
I'm clean. I'm just coming. This is what it's about.
I texted Lauren the other day, y'all. I said, I can't post about bread anymore, my bread journey. I feel like I've made it so clear every time I post about my bread baking, you know, hobby that I've acquired that I'm such an amateur. And I will like preface being like, I just got this starter. I have no idea what I'm doing or what's in it. I'm following a recipe my friend showed me. But here's what happened. And like,
I'm like at higher elevation and also sea level at the same time. Can you give me instructions on how to, I don't even know the words for baking bread, how to prep the bread.
That's legit the questions I get. Like yeah. People respond and be like, is this gluten-free or can I make this gluten-free? Or okay, I live, like in the mountains. How would my elevation affect this bread baking? Or I want to mimic this starter. Like, how can I make this at my house? And I'm like, I literally don't know. Like,
but maybe you are a kind and welcoming face. They know that like, maybe you'll have an answer, but also you're a scientist. And so maybe they just know that you can take variables and do experiments with them. So I'm just trying to help.
Maybe that is why. I mean, and I hate to say it because I think the thing is like, I love DMs for like having conversations and laughing with people. Right. It feels really tiring to me when it's like self-help. It's like an FAQ page. I don't know. I just want it to be fun. And a lot of times I found with the bread stuff, the bread
people really, it's
the
bread because
bunch.
You, it's something you're learning too. And you're not about to like start a bread blog or anything like that.
Well, that's my thing. There's like so many Instagrammers who like actually make bread. And I feel like every time I've posted it, I get 45 DMs with all different questions. And then I get so overwhelmed. And sometimes I forget that I post about bread. And then the next day I get on there and I'm like, oh my gosh, like why are my DMs exploded? And it's like all these things about bread. And I'm just like so stressed out because I'm like, I can barely help myself.
And I think you're learning about bread just like from your neighbors, your friends. Like it's, you're not, you don't have all of these bloggers and Instagrammers that you would recommend for bread expertise. You're just like, and I really don't know, I'm like, testing it out.
Boiling my blood is a strong statement. It's not like my blood is boiling. Right. I'm just more like so tired. And then it makes me like not want to show up and
talk. You got nothing to say.
Because I'm like, oh, I don't want to like have to do this. But I will say one thing that does make me boil my blood is when I specifically say, don't ask me about this. And then people do. Like literally one of the last times I posted, I said, I have no idea what's going on with this starter. Here's a link. Like I just Googled and found for you guys. That's really similar to what I'm doing. Like, good luck. And still like 8 people were like, and they've acknowledged like, I know you said don't DM you about this, but, and I'm like, I like want to respond and be like, IDK, like retweet what I already said, but I don't
leave them on red. It's what the kids say, whatever.
Yeah. Leave them unread. I try not to leave anyone unread. So
no, on red.
On red. Yeah. Sorry. Not unread. On red. I don't have Snap. And I think that's a Snap lingo. So
no, Snapchat. I kind of think it's like when you have your
read receipts,
yeah. Whatever you call it. Yeah.
I don't do that either. I don't know. But I think Snapchat does that automatically. Like I think that's my interpretation. I don't know though.
Don't know. Don't care to know.
Okay, blood is boiled. Let's talk about what's saving our life right now. And I will say what's saving my life right now is Sabbathing. I feel like I've talked about this kind of before because I definitely have mentioned the ruthless elimination of hurry on the Momfluencer, but I think on here too. But like in 2020, I read this book. We'll link it in the show notes again.
Because we have before.
We'll run it back again in case you missed it. But it really changed my life and like how I view the Sabbath. And I love this book because it has, you know, biblical components, but it also just has like sociological studies and like historical studies of how like the idea of Sabbath has changed over history. It's just fascinating. And it's a really easy read, which I love. Super practical too. But I like literally never, ever thought I could do Sabbath. I was like, there's no way to have that capacity. And then I forced myself and it changed my life. And now I really feel the weight if we don't Sabbath. Like we had 2 Sundays back to back where we just had fun things. Like one, we took the kids up to Charleston for monster trucks. That was like a whole day thing. And then the next one was Easter and we just like hosted Easter. So it was just like a big day, very full, kind of missed nap time. Just a lot going on. You know, it wasn't our normal Sunday.
It feels so hard to recover.
So I had no recovery. I felt like all week I was just exhausted not having my day. And I just love it. And I do no social media on Sunday. I feel like it decreases the noise in my life. I read way more on Sundays because I'm not on my phone. I like barely have to charge my phone on Sundays because I'm barely using it. And it's just so, so good. So that's what's saving my life right now is Sabbathing. And Thomas and I have even talked about like, as we have some weekend trips coming up this summer and the fall with the kids, like trying to work his work schedule around so we can go Thursday to Saturday night, basically, and come home Saturday night so we can still get a Sunday because it's become that like life or death for us, basically.
It's the best when you come back and you still have your Sunday or like a good chunk of it. It makes a big difference. I get so much reading done too now on Sundays. I can power through half a book on Sundays.
I could read a whole Colleen Hoover on a Sunday.
For real. This is not what I was going to talk about in saving my life, but the way you described ruthless elimination of hurry. I am reading a book right now called The Art of Gathering by Priya Parker. I don't know if I've told you about that. Mm-hmm. It's so good. It has illustrations that stick to me, you know, stories that I can remember and tell somebody else who hasn't read it, similar to Ruthless Elimination of Hurry or like a Malcolm Gladwell type book, like psychological things. And it's all about intentional gathering. First, thinking about the why and not just like to hang out with my friends, but it like goes really deep and like digs really deep. And then entertaining your guests or like protecting your guests and being a host and not in like a, I don't know. It's really like a deep thinking book and I've got my wheels are turning like as I'm reading it. So that was not what's saving my life, but I was just going to say it's very similar sounding to Ruthless Elimination of Hurry that if you want a nonfiction book to read, it's a good one right now.
Love that.
Okay. And on the topic of books, something that is saving my life right now, I just like think it's so sweet and so cute and I wanted to share it, is a friend told me about this and I put it in Ellie's Easter basket. The biggest story, Bible storybook. That's a mouthful. But a friend of mine told me this, that it would be good like after the Jesus storybook Bible. And the illustrations are so cool, like real artsy, real colorful, but good for like 5 to 8 year olds. And I love how it's written. Like when I'm reading it out loud, we kind of like laugh a little bit. Like she loves reading it. It's just something different because Ellie has always been a big reader. She can't read yet. She's five, but she is like loving something different. Like we've read the Jesus Storybook Bible and she knows those stories. This is a little bit bigger. There are some more stories in here. It feels a little bit more like, you know, when she hears something say, this is in the book of Numbers, she's like, where is that in my Jesus Storybook Bible? Okay, it's not really like in there. Is that this has some more of that? So We are loving it. I'll link it. I need to send it to you. It's really sweet. And then did I have another? Oh,
I want to hear this. I need some context thing for this one.
Okay. The other thing that was just like gave me some life this weekend, we went to a wedding shower of a former student and we just like know their family. Oh, it was Allie and Olivia. You know them.
Aww.
And this older woman, it was like somebody's grandmother was there and she was talking to me and, you know, we just got in a conversation. I was like, hey, I'm Lauren. And she said, how do you know Olivia? And I said, oh, I like worked at the high school that she went to. I was her counselor. And she was like, what? Like when you were 12, like she like couldn't, I was either that, or she was like, wait, you're married. And Curtis was standing kind of behind me talking to someone else. And I was like, yeah, that's what she said. Oh, you got married when you were 12. I was like, yeah, I wish. Okay, cool. And then I don't know, something came up like that. I had kids and she was like, you're kidding me right now. And I was like, wow, no one ever mistakes me for young. I really feel like I'm at a turning point in my life where I'm realizing how much older I am than people because I feel young and hip, you know? And then in church, I realized like I'm not the peer of someone who is 22 years old. Like I'm a decade more.
People are asking you to mentor them. That's yes, where you're at, right?
Yes, yes. And when this woman was like, how old are you? I can't believe that. I was like, no one has said that to me in a while. And you know, like when your mom is like, has always done that, you know, like
right.
Loves being carted places. Like, I think I'm crossing over into that threshold.
Well, I used to think my mom was such a loser when my friends would be like, hi, Mrs. Deary. She'd be like, no, call me Robin. But I'm like, that's me. Like if one of my kids' friends was like, Mrs. Joyner, I'd be like, honey, call me Rebecca. Like, don't call me Miss Joyner. Who am I? My mother-in-law? Like, I'm like, I get it. I'm becoming
that line.
Okay. Like, it's funny that you said that because I actually went to a wedding this past weekend and it's just so random. It was a friend that I danced with growing up. So we knew each other back in Kentucky, dance studio girls. And then we both ended up at Clemson. We were sweet mates freshman year at Clemson. So I like know a lot of her crew from Clemson, even though like we just kind of did our own things at Clemson. We were in different major sororities, whatever. Then she's always vacationed where we live. So like I've seen her over the years as she's vacationed here. She had a destination wedding basically where we live. And it was so funny because I saw a lot of people I haven't seen in 15 to 20 years. And they were probably like, why is she here? But they didn't realize like Emily and I have stayed so connected in all these different places.
I bet they told you you haven't aged a bit.
Listen, multiple people commented on my skin. And I was like, they were like asking
yeah,
what
skin
I was
looks
doing.
So good.
What treatments I was getting. I was like, girl, no office treatments. I was like, at Bareface, please sponsor me. Please, Jordan Harper, if you were out there, please give me a sponsorship. But it was funny because I was laughing because Thomas, every time my Bareface like subscription goes through, I get it like every 3 or 4 months. Yeah. He thinks our credit card got hacked. And he's like, what just happened? I'm like, no, that was a legit charge. That was
Thomas thinks your credit card got hacked all the time. Like, does he not know these routine purchases?
And that card like a hawk.
But you would think he would know what some of these things were every
you think you know. I think he's in denial. I think he just wants to like really be in denial. And so I was just so tickled because every person who said something said it in front of him. And I was like, say it louder for Elder Tom in the back.
Like, it's worth it, Thomas.
Worth every penny, but it did make me feel good. It's a nice feeling. So I can relate to how you felt. Okay, let's talk. Speaking of like bougie banter, little luxuries, because my Bareface is definitely bougie. Another bougie thing that I've just been loving is Boar's Head Deli Meat. And
I can't live without it.
Listen, I do live without it because
you go to Aldi now.
I'm an Aldi girl now, but I will say I've tried every kind of deli meat they have at Aldi, and it's just
like slimy.
Slime City.
Yes.
Slime City. So basically once a month I go to Publix now and we literally build it into our calendar. I take the kids. They love it because they get a cookie at the bakery. They
yes.
get the fruit and the, you know, produce. We see all the people we know who work there because we love all of them. And I get my Boar's Head deli meat. And even Thomas, like, it was funny because this week was my Publix week and I got the Boar's Head deli meat. And he came home when he normally eats lunch out, but sometimes he'll come home on like a Friday for lunch. And he's like, oh, we got the good meat. I was like, yeah, we did.
I was like, way better than the PBJ.
$10.89 a pound. I'm like, don't give this to the kids. I'm like, Nan will be like, I want a ham sandwich. I'm like, you can have a peanut butter and jelly, sister.
You can have Oscar Mayer.
You will not appreciate this. Exactly. But man, it is so good.
Even the Publix brand deli meat is better, is light years beyond anything you'll get in a package at Aldi.
100%. 100%. I will say, I still don't know. And this is something I need to like post on a poll. Like, how long are we eating deli meat sliced at the counter? Like, how many days are you eating it? Because that prepackaged slime from Aldi is like, it's good for a month. I'm like, no, it hasn't been good for 5 minutes since I opened it.
No.
But then I think I Googled it once and it said like 3 to 4 days.
I would go a week probably. It probably won't last here longer than a week. Right. We'll eat it all. But I did find some like that. I think my mom had given it to me before she left or something. And she had gotten a couple. The timeline on it was blurry at best. And I think I probably had it 2 weeks and it was no longer good. Like I was like, a little too slimy. I'm not going to risk that.
Okay. So we're kind of using slime as like our metric here for like, is my Boar's Head still good?
Smell too. I think you can tell by the smell.
Thomas, fun fact also, when we were like Dave Ramsey or die in the early days of our marriage, when we would like splurge and get like pub subs and go to the park for a date or something, he would always be like judging me so hard because I pay extra for the Boar's Head turkey.
Yeah.
And once or twice he would go and he'd get it and he'd get the regular and like see if I could notice, and I could always tell. And he's like, I can't believe it. I'm like, I'm telling you, it's different. But now he knows it hits different. The Boar's Head deli meat hits different.
It does. It does. Okay. And then I just needed to incorporate this into our episode. It is like the opposite of a little luxury, but I just had to, maybe for accountability's sake, let the world know that I was doing this. We are going to go camping in...
I wish you could see Rebecca's face. Perturbed.
We are not campers. This is not just,
I know,
just me. This is Curtis too. I have always described camping and hiking, they kind of go hand in hand. Like, I love to go on a walk. I love to look at pretty things, but I don't want to do it up a mountain. If we can like drive somewhere and look at something pretty, great. But I don't need to exert energy doing that. And I know maybe this is going to really hit a nerve with some people, but it's not my favorite thing to do. And same with camping. Like, I could think of 100 million other things I'd rather do. And I'm always going to choose staying in a luxury resort hotel, or I'd rather just stay in my own bed than 100%. Camp. But, you know, so we don't even have any gear or anything like that. But we had some friends over the other day and they were like, hey, we are going camping. And they're not like huge campers either. They had already booked it 2 nights, thinking like, we'll probably make it one night because this is with kids and our kids have never done this either. But our kids are psyched about it. I'm like, do we bring a sound machine? Do you like plug in somewhere?
Nature is your sound. There's no plugs.
I know. Crickets and
so do you have it? What are you doing? I have so many follow-up questions. We're not even gonna have time for all my follow-up questions.
We are camping at Lake Oconee.
Where'd you get stuff?
We don't have anything yet. We're not going for another, it's like the first week of June.
So you're going to buy stuff or you're just going to
borrow stuff? Good. I have plenty of friends who like to camp. We don't do that together.
Dude, 2 nights is a lot. Like 2 nights could put me in a hospital if I had 2 nights of bad sleep.
Well, that's what we're thinking. Like 1 night you can still come back and recover and have your Sabbath on Sunday.
Right.
Yeah, so we'll see. It for 2 nights, it cost $65. So for our whole family to go do something. And here's what really, like, I took steps forward towards this idea, because in that book, Habits of the Household, I don't know if you finished that.
Yeah, yeah.
The guy talks about like some of those prime years, like with your family. One of the things that he did with his family is like camping in the younger years. Because
we'll link that too.
Yes, because
so good.
Like, what fun memories for your kids. And, you know, I'm all about some fun memories. And I told Curtis, just sitting on the couch after we had made this decision and I had booked it, it was official. I said, Curtis, I think I'm going to turn into a camper. He's like, he's like whipped his head around. He's like, okay. And then he goes, you know what? I kind of think whatever you decide you're going to do, you're going to be really excited about it. And like, okay, I can see that. He's like, well,
you have camp counselor energy.
You're a mountain girl.
You own Chacos. You're ready.
Okay. And if anybody has never seen my Chacos, they are gold glitter Chacos. So they give this illusion that I'm an outdoor camper girl, but I'm just going to Publix to get my Boar's Head meat.
I love it. You know what? Also, though, I feel really excited for this because this will really help train you for your Survivor application.
Okay. That's also part of this as well, because I thought...
Give the people some context about Survivor if they didn't watch my stories.
Okay. I love Survivor. We always have.
We love Survivor.
I have always said I would never go on Survivor. I wouldn't be good at it. Then I started listening to Jeff Probst's new podcast this season. He started a podcast and they go behind the scenes on some stuff. And one of them was on the casting. And I was like, I was just psyched up. I have the Survivor application like open on my phone right now. Like I am going to do it. I have what Kaylin from our fourth episode, whatever that was, would call the delusional confidence. I'm like, if they met me, I think I would be on Survivor. So I'm just like have a note in my phone of all the things that I'm going to bring to the table. And here's the thing. I don't need to test out like my physical endurance in a tribal game. Like I think I will do fine. Because like people are couch potatoes and they do fine in the physical stuff. Like they can make it, or I'm just like not a threat and I just kind of move my way along.
I will not be a physical threat.
I will not be a physical threat. I'm warning you that right now. But I will be a social threat. And here we'll circle back to that. But the thing I'm most nervous about that maybe this camping is going to help us with is like, I am afraid that my back will physically be broken after one night on a bamboo pole, like just laying on some bamboo in the rain, mosquitoes and sunburn. And I don't know if I'm ready for the elements because I wasn't a physical threat to begin with. And now I'm hobbled over like the Hunchback of Notre Dame because my back can't do anything.
Well, there's 62-year-olds out there sleeping on that bamboo. So like something's got to be going on. Let me know if Jeff ever does an episode. Like I need to know. I've always said I want to go on Survivor. I think I would be very bad at it, but because I love the show, I want to do it. I'm too emotional. I would take things too personally. I get so queasy when I sleep bad. If I have a bad night's sleep, the whole next day, I feel like kind of queasy. Like there's something about that for me that makes me nauseous, which would be horrible. I mean, so many things. I don't like heights. So every time they're like balance on this pole for 18 hours, I'd be like, I'm out. Like just y'all vote me off the island because I'm not staying on this pole. I'm not going to climb this pole. I'd be so bad about it. But like the one thing that I'm like, I cannot apply for Survivor unless you let me wear SPF every day. I'm not going to go out there.
I mean, they didn't let Cochran, I don't think, because he had a bad sunburn. But
I just think he might have been so exposed. Like, listen, that's like you could be giving people skin cancer. I can't.
I'm sure you signed a waiver.
Damage my skin. You think they don't get any sunscreen?
No, I think they get sunscreen, but I think they sign a waiver. Like, if you get skin cancer,
you can't sue them for skin cancer. Right. As long as I can have SPF, it doesn't have to be my bare face. I can go without bare face for 28 days, but like,
someone would steal that.
I need some SPF. Also, you have got to start watching Australian Survivor. If y'all are Survivor fans, another Survivor friend of mine, shout out to Kylie, if you listen to the pod, she told me I have to watch this most recent season of Survivor Australia. It's Heroes versus Villains. I can't remember what season number it is. It is so good, but it's like so much the same as our Survivor, but also some different things. And one thing that's really different is they get a lot of clothes. They all have like several different
wardrobe changes
things, and they stay out there for 48 days. So they also get food. They get like rice and beans, and like every challenge has some sort of food aspect. So I think that helps because they're out there so much longer. But I love it because they have all these clothes, and I honestly wonder if they have shampoo because they look way less greasy than American Survivor. So I have a lot of questions. Maybe Jeff will get in on Australian Survivor.
Yeah, but let me just say one more thing. The reason I do really want to go on it is not for any – I don't need to test any of those things for myself. I know I'm weak in those areas. I would like to test my social game. If you are not a Survivor fan, the tides have changed since season one with Richard Hatch.
So
like
different.
It's a different game. It's a social game. And so I'm not going to give away everything I'm putting in my application, but winning others over is my number two in my strength finder. And I think that I'm going to say I'm a Christian, but I am ready to backstab, lie, cheat, and steal on this show. I want to see how I can play
for the glory of God.
Lord, I lift your name on high, and I am going to vote Rebecca out.
For freedom, you have been set free, Lauren. Just taking some verses out of context at your Survivor application. No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.
Okay.
All right. Sorry. Keep going. I'm sorry.
But like, here's just like one thing I thought of this weekend. in my neighborhood, I know we're in like a season of like people are growing and moving into houses and stuff. I moved into our neighborhood and I've convinced 5 families that I know to move into my neighborhood. That's a large purchase. I'm not a real estate agent. I'm not booking open houses, but I got 5 friends and their families to move to our neighborhood. I'm like, I mean,
you got it.
I got, like, I can connect the people. I mean, I would get blindsided because I would think I'd be playing this game so well, but I am excited to see how my social game could test out and play. I don't know.
My only concern is your migraines. Are they going to give you migraine
medication? I haven't had them in the last 3 months, so I think I'm okay.
Praise the Lord. The time is right. My favorite thing ever, y'all, I wish you could read our text thread. I mean, this is basically like our text thread, but Lauren was like, the only thing holding me back is who's going to watch my kids? And then you're like,
they're going to be playing Survivor here while I'm out playing Survivor on the island. Like, I don't know who's
playing Survivor at your house. Someone will take care of them.
I have gotten so many people on the Survivor train. Like, there are group texts all over the place of people watching Survivor and like saying, hey, did you watch the tribal? Like, those people are going to be watching my kids along with the grandparents.
The girlies will be fine. They would love it.
Yeah.
Okay. We got to move on or else we'll never get to the rest of this. Okay. We've been wanting to talk about this. Questions that need answers.
QTNA.
Can we get a status check on Groupon?
Like, I'm going to go ahead and let you know I looked it up in.
You did. You did some research.
Yes.
I feel like Groupon was iconic from like 2011, 2012 to 2016. Like, a very big part of my life was Groupon. Our first wedding anniversary trip was a Groupon. Like, we got it on Groupon.
Where'd you go?
We went to Savannah. Okay. We just did like one night in a historic hotel that we got on Groupon.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, like what? Yeah, you tell me, what did your research find?
Okay. What happened with Groupon was like something that the people are asking on Google. They had some competition, aka Living Social, and then they acquired them. So I saw,
forgot about Living Social.
Right. That was my next tab that I opened up, like what happened to Living Social? And this is funny. It said Groupon purchased them in 2016 for an undisclosed amount. And then it said the Washington Post later reported this amount was $0. They just gave in. They said they surrendered with
Living Social
flag.
Did?
Yeah.
To Groupon.
And so I like went to Living Social's website and tried to log in with an account, and the whole infrastructure, like, it still says Living Social, but it looks the exact same as Groupon, because I'll tell you, I logged into that account too.
Do you still get Groupons? Like, are you getting those emails?
I do not. And I think I thought of this question just out of nowhere. Like, I was like, I wonder what Groupon's doing these days. And then when I needed to put it on this, either a friend shared this on social media and she received it, or she was posting that she had seen it, that Groupon sent one of those texts that's like really sweet and sensitive to mothers on Mother's Day as it's coming up. It's like, you can opt out of Mother's Day messages or something. And aww. I was like, wait, Groupon is still communicating with people? Are they sending emails, text messages? Are they? So they are on social media. They are on Instagram with 333,000 followers.
I kind of would have thought of it more. I just feel like it was like it.
It was the thing.
What was something you got on Groupon? And I will tell you probably my most outrageous Groupon.
Right. Well, I recovered my password and I logged into my portal to see. I bought most recently in 2017. So they were still around there.
Okay.
Some carpet cleaning, 3 areas of carpet cleaning up to 250 square feet. And that was in 2017. So that was in our house in Greer. We had,
do you remember
carpet.
Using it?
I think so. Yeah, I think so. I don't remember it being like, I got to tell all my friends about it, but I bought it because I was like, I mean, better than I could do. In 2013, so it goes way back. This is the prime of when I was using it. Like 2013, right. The Shoreline Sightseeing Architecture Boat Cruise in Chicago. I redeemed that spring break when I went to Chicago to visit my friend Rachel. And then this one just really, it made me giggle. It was a manicure and pedicure at a like hole, not hole in the wall. I'm sure it was like kind of fine, but a place that like I didn't know existed. You know, that's why I guess as a business, you'd get on Groupon to like get the word out about your company. And it says it's expired and unused. So I never went and used it. I think it was really hard to get an appointment kind of thing. Like they were open between the hours of 8:30 and 9 a.m. or something on Thursday mornings or something. And so it says the amount you paid never expires and can be used at any time. And I thought, what if right now I went to Day Spa 12 on West Stone. And I said, I have $32 of credit to your store. It won't necessarily buy me a manicure and pedicure, but I'd like to use my store credit from 2013.
Please bring it. They're going to be like, ma'am, statutes of limitation. Like, we're sorry.
I might have to do it.
Dude, you should please test that out and circle back with us. Okay, my most outrageous Groupon is I got 6 laser hair removal treatments on Groupon for I think like $250, which was an exorbitant amount at that time. Because it was like I'd graduated college, was teaching for the first time, about to get married. And I was like, I'm going to do this. And I just felt, I remember going in and I got it on my armpits. And if anyone would like to know, it does 100% work. I have very fair skin and very dark hair. And so I'm like a prime candidate for laser hair removal. It feels exactly how you'd expect a laser to feel, like extremely hot, like a iron hot rubber band flicking your, you know, skin.
Armpit hairs.
In like a quarter size radius. And then think about how many times they'd have to do that to cover your whole armpit. And your armpit's like on fire. But then the girl pulls out the aloe gel from her little mini fridge and like rubs it on your armpits. And it's just like the best feeling. But you go back like every 6 weeks, and I did like 6 times or whatever. And it literally worked. Like I didn't shave for years. And like since then, my hair has grown back because you're supposed to, I think like once a year, get a follow-up. But it was the Groupon, so I never went back. Also, Lauren, it was like the most random place in Simpsonville I had to drive because that was when I was living in Greenville, like okay. Here's in the middle thing. Of nowhere.
And I'm just going to say what the listeners are already thinking.
What?
I would never buy a Groupon for something physical on my body. I want to pay full price with no discounts for anything that might alter the state of my body, whether that's skydiving or whether that is a bikini laser wax. Listen, I don't need that, the discounted. I will pay above full price. I'll double the price for a
first
good
year teacher salary. I needed a coupe. Okay. And so I had my Groupon and it did me right. And still to this day, I do have to shave now my armpits, but it is like a totally different texture of hair. It's like baby soft hair. And it's like, I'll like forget because I don't have to do it very often. Whereas before it was like, you have to shave every day. And even when you shave, I can still see your hair follicles through your translucent Edward Cullen white skin. So I'm grateful for that Groupon. Money well spent.
Well, I'll check into this day spa on Stone Avenue.
Just circle back.
And I'll check back in.
Okay. That's our bestie banter. Let's get on to some biz banter.
How much time do you have?
I have 18 minutes before I have another podcast interview for my actual job. So let's do this rapid fire. Tell them some current updates.
Well, good news is, because I know everyone is losing sleep over this, is that we are verified everywhere. Woo-hoo! I came out of the room the other day and I said, Curtis, do I look verified to you? Because I check. Am. We got blue checks on Counselor Click, It's Not Rocket Science, and Momfluencer, all did. Of us. I'm still not used to seeing it in the DMs with it. It feels a little weird.
I know. And you may be thinking, how did you do that? Well, we paid for it. And you may be thinking, wow, status symbol much? We did not do it for the status symbol. Here's why we did it. I don't know if you know this, but Instagram has literally no customer service. And in our like education entrepreneur sphere of the world, we know several business owners who have had their accounts hacked, even with two-factor authentication, whatever, and lost their accounts. And you don't have access to anyone at Instagram or Facebook to troubleshoot. And listen, y'all, like Lauren has done the most on both of our business accounts to grow our
following.
But
then it's just scary to like, you could do everything that you can do to protect your accounts and they could disappear. So
like we know multiple people in real life who have lost their business accounts. Some have gotten them back. Some have not. Some have gotten them back and all of their content's gone, but at least they still have the followers. You know, like, I mean, but some just have not gotten them back. And so the reason we paid to be Meta verified is that now we have access to basically like customer
support.
It's like support.
Insurance for your
It's literally your insurance for your account. And since I was already doing for It's Not Rocket Science, I was like, why not with Momfluencer? Even though like I don't really have a lot going here, but I figured, you know, I've like tried. So I would be, if someone hacked the Momfluencer, I'd be like, it was a good run, y'all. See you never. Like I would just
disappear. And people would be like, how do I make my bread, my gluten-free cinnamon chip starter?
They wouldn't know. Okay. So that's why we did it, but we're pumped about it.
Yeah, then just like one more thing. I just wanted to throw it out there. We hadn't talked about this, but I don't know. If anybody wants to sponsor this podcast, I mean, we're open to it. So if you are a local business, if you're a larger business, if you're just on social media, but we like reserve the right to say, no, it doesn't align with our brand. But if you're interested, let's talk. Send an email to, what's our email address?
Hello@bestiebusinessbanter.com.
Yeah, we always have that in the show notes. So send us an email if you're like, hey, would you talk about my product or could we do a little blurb about that? I monetize over on my podcast. And so
yeah, you
if
do.
We could like get something to pay for Sarah, our amazing editor.
We love our editor. We could not do this without her. We would also love to not be paying to edit this pod. So,
and if it helps somebody else out, you know, if you are a listener of this and your audience would enjoy whatever your product or service is, we would love to hear from you. So I'm just going to put that out there. I'm not going to say we have to do it or anything like that, but okay.
Holler at us.
Okay. Give us an update on how you're doing. We're like mid-quarter two right now. You kind of said in the beginning, like things happen kind of seasonally in our businesses. And what are you up to right now? And what are you working on right now?
Okay. So kind of where we are at, I feel like quarter one and quarter two are pretty slow. I mean, they're definitely like our slower times. The nice thing for me is May typically picks up. I usually have like a pretty good May, but really this is—
And when you say slow, you mean like sales?
Yes. Revenue, sales are down. Not down. They're lower. Like
they're typically on a calendar year. This is a slower time of year.
Yeah. April, May, June. April mainly because of all the different spring breaks, Easter, all that going on that teachers have, plus like standardized testing, things like that. May kind of picks up usually a little bit because people are getting their contracts, knowing what they're going to teach the next year. They want to buy things before they head off for the summer. And then June just kind of always hit or miss. It just depends. But big time for me is July, August, September. Quarter three is like my Super Bowl for 3 months straight. And so really right now is a lot of preparation for that. And so two things I've got going on right now. One is I'm trying something new this summer. The last two summers, I had a professional development course. It was all virtual, called Secondary Science Simplified. It actually came before my podcast came and I love the course. It's a paid opportunity though for teachers to pay for professional development that they actually want for secondary science teachers. But it takes a lot of time. Like I'm in the Facebook group, I'm interacting with people every day, I'm doing these live coaching calls, it's a lot. And my number one priority right now is writing this chemistry curriculum. So I am not offering the paid course this summer. Instead, I'm going to treat my Secondary Science Simplified podcast like it's professional development and be like, hey, get free podcast PD with me all summer long. And also my main goal with that is twofold. One, to serve people when I'm not offering the course this summer. And then two, to convert more of my email list to podcast listeners. Like I'm like so thrilled with the stats of my podcast. Like I'm grateful for the people who listen and like are super loyal and love the pod. But the ratio of my actual size of my email list, which I also feel like is a very accurate email list. I don't have like an inflated one. Like I feel like it's actually my buyers and things like that and people who need to be there. The ratio of that to actually my podcast downloads, I think is like way off. Like I should have way more. So I'm really hoping this summer to get the people on my list listening. So hopefully this will help. And so then that's just going to free me up for the rest of like this summer, moving into busy season, just to focus on chemistry. My original goal was to finish it by August 1, which LOL, not a chance. Now I'm shooting to have 70% of it done by then. So that way the majority of it will be done. I can start offering the full bundle for teachers then, and then finish the other 30% September, October, November. So that's kind of where I'm at in quarter two, already thinking about quarter three. Where are you at?
Yeah. I'm making some progress on some of the behind the scenes stuff, which I haven't written it down, but it has been a goal that I have spoken of. One of those things, I mean, I'm not doing it myself because I don't have the brain to do this, but putting my business and all of my tasks on ClickUp. Now, I'm sure you've heard of ClickUp, Monday, Asana, Trello. I mean, there are so many project management tools. Yes, Airtable, Google Sheets. I literally have all of those. I mean, if I could tell you all the places where things are right now, it's literally Trello, Airtable, ClickUp, Google Sheets, my email, my notes,
I'm surprised
you
picked ClickUp of all of them to like narrow in on.
Well, because Sarah used it for podcast stuff, and that's what we were going to use for Curtis's Facebook ads, which we're in a rebrand right now. His Facebook ads by Curtis. You can still get to it at adsbycurtis.com, but it's actually called Numbers Drive. So there's an update for all of you who are following Curtis's journey. He has an LLC, an EIN number, and all registered and all that stuff. So
he's really doing it.
Obviously, his brain works like a giant project management system. And so he's been putting that together for Facebook ads, and then he loves how it works. I think I just told him about it because Sarah had used it with us and I liked the client side of that. And so we're going to use that. And that will help me with like daily, weekly, monthly, yearly tasks. And I just have a lot of things that I do all the time or every month. And to have that like on a to-do list that feels a little more streamlined, I like cannot wait to exhale when he has created me something. But that's behind the scenes and I'm not doing it. So
he's going to work on this while you're on Survivor. And then you're going to circle back in 28 days and it's going to be ready to go.
Well, it better be ready before then because I don't think we're filming Survivor until next summer. So we're still in quarter two and up and coming quarter three. That's what like he's working on in my business. So most of the time I feel like I'm trying to stay afloat, but I have an audio course coming. So like, what is an audio course? It is like a course where someone is learning things, professional development type stuff, but it is all in private podcast form. So I don't have to show up and be on video. This audio course is going to be for new high school counselors. So whether that's they're right out of grad school, they are moving from elementary or middle school to high school, kind of the learning the ropes, because I have a really great free resource to help counselors get the job and to help them with interviews. And then I have continuing support in my membership. And this is kind of the gap in between there to give them the like onboarding to becoming a high school counselor. Like once you've got the job, now what? And so that should be ready if I get it ready. I'm hoping Memorial Day week. So like the last week of May, beginning of June, which is pretty soon, but I'm pacing okay for it. I have it all kind of structured out. I just need to record it. So that's where I am with that. And then
also, can I just say, interject? Yeah. I'm laughing because I'm looking at our notes and you literally wrote when it's like, what are we planning for summer? You wrote like 12 things and I wrote the same word three times. I just wrote chemistry, chemistry, chemistry. And you wrote 12 things. And I just think that is like so on brand.
It is. Well, I was like, what am I working on? And then all of a sudden I was like, oh, I have so many things.
Now you have this all, you have it in Google Sheet, ClickUp, even on a Google Doc with me.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Right. The backend systems are happening right now. And we can talk about this as like a new hire that we're trying out. And I'll talk about that in a second. When I went to that wedding shower on Saturday, this is so funny. I literally like, it was someone that Curtis knew. And the guy was like, what do you do? And I always struggle with like, do I just say, I just like stay home with my kids? Do people really care about what I do? And I was like, yeah, I run a small business where I support high school counselors. And he was like, I'm working on a project for high school counselors right now. I said, you're kidding. Like, I was like, funny joke. Like you're trying to make conversation. And he was like, no, I want to hear what you think about this idea. And I was like, what are you talking about? So without saying all of that, because I don't really know what it's going to turn into, but maybe a potential partnership project. I'll tell you more about it off air because I think it could be really cool. I'm going to the national conference for school counselors. It's elementary, middle, and high school, but it's in Atlanta this year. And so I'm going to do that. I was planning on just showing up, but I might have an opportunity to present, like co-present with someone, which could be really cool. And that came through a guest who was on my podcast. We connected. She was like, why don't you come present with me? I was like, I mean, are you serious?
Love it.
I will. I'd have to do some PD to keep my certificate. Do you have your teaching certificate still active? Is that like with the state?
I'm trying to remember. 2014. No, I think it might have expired in 2019. No. I have it through 2023, which is right now. So no, right. It's about to expire.
I think mine expires in 2024.
Yeah, I finished it in 20. I like got good to go in 2018, right before I left. And then
Yeah. So there's so many, like there's a limited amounts of things you can do when you're not working for the district. So I signed up for one that I thought would be like, I might already have some stuff I could like use for it to submit for assignment. So that's on my to-do list.
Also, LOL that we both write courses and you're having to like take a course to keep your certificate.
Don't even get me started. When I was in the school, I was teaching a class for high school counselors that they would get credit for in their portal. And I was like, oh, it was on technology.
Right.
And I remember they doing this. The district was telling me that I needed to get technology certified. And I was like, but if I'm teaching the class, can that count? And no, They like would not do it. So it's like, okay, cool.
Great.
And then along your similar lines, I don't know if I'm calling it PD or what. I'm really wanting to do, I have a bunch of playlists kind of marked out for my podcast and opt-ins to get people on my email list. And I want to get that out to districts, like far and wide, get it out to grad school programs and where people are coming out of grad school, department heads, district liaisons. Like, I want every high school counselor to know about my podcast. So
they need to know.
Maybe when I get done with this audio course, that's the next thing, because I want it out before the end of the year.
Come on, let's make it happen. Okay, you mentioned this, and then so tell them we both happened to hire someone new in the last month, I guess. So yeah. Who's new on your team? What are you doing? What are you trying out?
Not team. Like, I'm paying for
that was aggressive.
Contracting services. Yeah, aggressive. This is somebody who I've seen. I mean, I've seen her work. Like, I wanted to hire her because I thought it looked good. But I need somebody to help me write some emails on the inside of my email list that are like automated for those like podcast playlists. Like, someone has an interest in small group counseling. They come into my email list and they get something very specific to them, emails written out for that. I love to write. I don't mind doing it, but I have a lot of work that needs to be done with those things. And then I'm still doing other work on the side. And so I just thought, let me test this out, see how it goes with one funnel of like an email sequence. And I told her, I was like, if this is a good thing, then I have a lot more work for you to do. So we'll see.
And I do, because I'll probably hire her if you like her.
Right. So I have a lot for her to do. And then the other thing that I'm tossing around is I've really been trying to think of, you know, things that don't have to be me that are very trainable and stuff. And one of those would be using Pinterest and YouTube a little bit more. I have been doing those. They provide really great traffic for me in terms of product sales, blog post views, podcast listens, all the things. And so I have someone in mind that I'm going to talk to about that this weekend, maybe.
Woohoo. I ended up hiring someone new too. It's a contractor also. We're on a 3-month gig just to kind of see how it goes. But I basically joined like a membership of data stuff, where basically I get all of this data, all these spreadsheets sent to me from, you know, my store and my conversions and all that. And then I hired this girl on top of that, because I got the data and I was overwhelmed. Like, it was such good information, but it was so much. I was like, I literally don't have time for this. All I can do is write chemistry. I'll circle back to this later. But then another edupreneur friend was like, you need to hire my girl, Meg. So I hired Meg. I'm working with her right now. She's basically taking my results and she's applying them for me. So we're going to work on, like, you know, maybe 15 products a month, basically. But she's going to apply some of the results and make some changes to, like, my descriptions, my covers, my thumbnails, the marketing resources around them, not the actual product. The product's not changing at all. And the cool thing is I love hires like this where it's really, really clear the return on your investment. Like, and I even straight up told her, like, I love her, but I was like, listen, I'm going to do 3 months because I know we need a little bit of time to see if this works. But, like, if we don't have the financial return in 3 months, and she was like, I get it, girl. So We're in a good place. We're learning each other right now. But anytime you hire someone, it just takes a lot of time to, like, get to know each other, them to get to know your brand. So we're kind of in that phase. I really like her. So it's, like, easy to talk to her and stuff, which is good. But
and you said she's got some good systems too, as like a contractor. That's how this copywriter was as well.
It's refreshing to hire someone, which, like, I have hired mainly friends at first, which I love. But then I have to, like, tell them how I want things done and train them up and, like, figure out the systems myself. It was nice to hire someone who's, like, a professional pro at what she does, to be like, here are my systems. Here's what you need to do. Like, she tells me what she needs from me and I just do it. It's nice to not have to, like, lead her per se.
Right.
Okay. Real quick, because I have literally 2 minutes before I have to get on my other call. In 60 seconds or less, someone on Instagram, we have one question we can cover, asked, how did you find your niche to stand out amongst the others? What would you say?
Well, for me, it's like what I know. I mean, I think I have an addictive personality and I could talk about things that I love, hence why we have this podcast. But I mean, in terms of, like, an area of expertise, I was a high school counselor and that's what I'm going to talk about. I haven't needed to, like, niche down into, like, public school high school counselor or anything like that. There's no one else really doing this and, like, taking it seriously like it's a business. And so, and then maybe how do I stand out? That's maybe like a flip of that. But I feel like I show my face on social media a lot. Some people create and just kind of stay behind the scenes because they like creating the products and they don't like to be the face of things. But I like that my personality is infused with my business, and because I want to be friends with all the people that I connect with online. And, like, I hope that they feel the same way about me, that that helps sell my stuff and helps me make a real connection with the people who are following me. So, I mean, in terms of, like, other counselors who are, like, doing this thing, I mean, I'm not afraid to step out and try something new or I don't know if it was Kaylin that said this too, of like what all the other people are doing, just like go the other direction and do something different. Mm-hmm. Like that doesn't intimidate me. And I like trying to think outside the box like that. And so maybe that's like a way that I like to think that I would like to try and stand out. And I just like work really fast and I have like a million ideas all at once. And I never am just sitting still doing one thing. And so,
it
keeps me moving forward. And so, but to find my niche, it was, I mean, that's like all I know. I couldn't do anything else.
I would say for me, it was like, I started just doing like little things and like what sounded fun, what I was already making and selling for my students. But then when I started writing the comprehensive units, that's when I started getting feedback from teachers that was like, I've never seen anything like this. I wish my brain worked like yours did. And that's when I realized like, oh, the way I do this, the way I think is actually different from other people. Like I kind of didn't realize that that was unique till other people gave me that feedback. And then I ran with it. So I feel like that's kind of where I leaned into what I do with my comprehensive units and full year curricula and found that that was like, you know, other people weren't doing it that way. Yeah. All right. This is fun. I love you.
You got to go. You're about to have the next call.
Okay. I'll voice memo you probably in 45 minutes when this next call's over.
Okay. Lila's. Sounds good. Lila's.
And thanks for listening, y'all.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Bestie Business Banter Podcast.
If you like what you hear, head over to Apple Podcasts and leave a 5-star review.
If you have thoughts on the show or the segments you heard today, send us a DM over on the Momfluencer Instagram.
See you next time, Business Bestie.